tonight, I want to talk to you about the plan. I love it when a plan comes together. And God has a plan for your, God has a plan for your life. Just accept that. Believe that. God has a plan for your family, has a plan for your finances. God has a plan for your future. God has a plan for, Satan has a plan for your life. We talked about that this morning, that Satan has a plan for your life. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. The title of the message tonight is God's plan for you in heaven. God's plan for you in heaven. Brother Blue, are you able to show that cover of that book there? It's The Heaven is for Real. That's a book that was written about 8 or 9 years ago about this young boy here. I'm going to be talking about him in my message tonight. If you've never got a copy of that book, it's an awesome book. And now I always take anybody that says they've been to heaven and seen different things, always take it with a grain of salt because we don't believe anything but the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is our final authority, and if it's not found in Scripture, then you really can't back it up. You can't say, well, somebody on TV said they went to heaven, they saw this, that, and the other. What makes this story unique is that this was a 3-year-old boy who began to tell things that a 3-year-old child could never know. But I want to tell you tonight that God does indeed, there is a place called heaven. Now, I would like for you to go to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and that famous scripture of our Lord Jesus. Let's read it out loud together. Everyone read. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Ready? Read. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Father, thank you for the plans that you have for us in the sweet by and by, in glory to come. Lord, I pray, encourage our hearts. Help us to be faithful until the end. And we'll give you praise for all that you have. Wonderful, awesome plans for us here and now and forever to come. World without end. To God be the glory. And we praise you, Father. May I decrease, may you increase. And we'll give you the praise for it. Everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. And I want us to give the Lord another hand of praise tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I ran across a website on WRAL, and it happened to be talking about church and heaven. And some people posted some responses to the subject of heaven and even the church. And I thought I would share some of them with you tonight. One person said, I don't believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or any other fairy tale, myth, or folklore. So no, I don't go to church. Another person posted, church is a nice place with nice people, but they aren't so nice when you tell them you don't believe in the stuff they talk about at church. Ouch. You know, we do have to be nice to people who don't believe. Amen. Another person posted, it's not made up. It's very real. Talking about heaven. However, the person said, I would love to see some proof. And then this one said, the last one, I don't go to church as I'm not wasting my time with some made up junk. Now, is heaven something that's just made up? You see, if we believe the Bible, the Word of God, we believe absolutely that heaven is for real. It's not made up. It's not a fairy tale. It's not Hansel and Gretel or the Grimm brothers. It is true. There is a place where there are streets of gold and gates of pearl. There is a place where the roses never fade, where the wicked cease their troubling and the weary are at rest. Along the shimmering, shining shores of that celestial sea. And I have good news for you tonight, and that is this, that just like God has a plan for your finances, and just like God has a plan for your family, and just like God has a plan for our country and for this church, God also has a plan for you to be in that wonderful place called heaven. Can you say amen tonight? Heaven is for real, and God has a plan for you to be there. Now, the book Heaven is for Real is about a pastor by the name of Todd Burpo in Nebraska. His son, who is pictured on the cover, is Colton Burpo. Colton underwent emergency appendectomy when he was just 3 years of age. And it was a terrible situation. They thought he had died. They misdiagnosed him, thought it was the flu, and it absolutely was life-threatening. And to make a long story short, the little boy Colton miraculously survived. And after he survived, and as time went on, he began to describe to his parents that he went to heaven. While Todd and his wife Sandra were skeptical at first, Colton authenticated his claim by describing exactly what his parents were doing while he was in surgery. He said, "Mom and Dad, I saw you in the waiting room. I saw you crying out to God and asking for my life." So when they realized there was no way he could have known that, he was indeed under surgery, all the other things about heaven, they began to pay a little bit more attention to. And I want you to know that it's not what Colton Burpo says, or his father says, or my grandfather says. I want you to know tonight that it's what Jesus said. He said, "I have prepared a place for you. There is streets of gold and gates of pearl, and heaven is for real, and God has a plan for you to be there." Can you say amen tonight? I want to give you three things. Number one, I know that heaven is real. Say that with me. I can know that heaven is real. I can know it. Now, this is what I want to hone in on tonight. Go to John chapter 14, verse 2. We have the words of Jesus. "If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is saying, take my word for it. There is a place called heaven. Heaven is for real. The word heaven is found 276 times in the New Testament. Think of that. 276 times there is the mention of heaven. Jesus referred to his Father as Heavenly Father. Listen, heaven is not a state of mind. It's not an unconscious dream. It's not some misty vision. Heaven is a place, just like Sims is a place, just like Bailey is a place, just like Waffle House and Rocky Mount is a great place. I want you to know that heaven is a place. When you go to heaven, you're going from this place to that place that he has prepared for you. It's a place of lights. It's a place of color. It's a place of animals. There are animals there. I'm not sure if your little pet snake will be there or not, like I was talking about this morning. But there are animals. There are people. There is water. There are cities. There is beauty. There is peace. There is rest. In that place, most importantly, there is our Heavenly Father, and we are around the throne as his children, gathered with the brothers and sisters throughout the ages. Heaven is a real place. Can you say amen tonight? In the final pages of the book, Heaven is for Real, they relate how the Burpo family gathered in a Starbucks with the editor of the book, and they said, "What should we title the book?" And so this one suggested that one, and this one suggested that title, and they said to the little Colton, they said, "Well, what do you think we should name the book?" He said, "I want you to name the book Heaven is for Real, because I want people to know, this little boy, I want people to know heaven is for real." Oh, thank the Lord that if it were not so, he would have told us. Can you say amen? Number one, you can know heaven is for real. And number two, point two, I know heaven is roomy. Heaven is roomy. Look at John 14 and 2 again. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now that word mansions there, just leave that up for a moment. That word mansions is not quite the idea. It is, but it isn't. When we think of a mansion, we think of what our neighbor down the road has that makes six figures and that we don't have. They live in a mansion. But this really, in the Jews, you've got to understand that Jesus was a Jew. And the people of the Jews, they had different ways of doing things. And so really that word mansion in the Greek is not the word mansion like a separate, standalone, huge house. It really should be more properly translated, in my father's house are many rooms. So what is significant about that? Well, you've got to understand the Jews. You've got to understand what happened. You see, we live in, even small houses are much larger than what any of the Jews lived in. Our average house, let's say you have a house 1,200 square feet. That's kind of small in today's society. But most of us live in homes close to 2,000 square feet. But the Jews, they lived, their whole family lived in one room. They oftentimes, it was not unusual for a Jewish family to live and sleep in one room, along with the animals, goats, chickens, even a donkey, were all brought indoors at night. And so the homes of Jesus' day were obviously very poor. They were very cramped. And so when Jesus said, hey guys, heaven is for real, but it's not going to be one room where we're all cramped in together. In my Father's house, there's much room. You've got room there. There's a place for you. There's a place for everyone. There's plenty of room. Listen, there's going to be throngs in heaven, but there's not going to be crowds in heaven. We're not going to be crowded. There's plenty of room. Thank God that there's a room enough for me and there's room enough for you. In my Father's house is enough room for you and enough room for me, and God's making room for you in heaven. That's His plan for your life. Say amen tonight. Listen, heaven will be gathered all the saints of the Bible, every redeemed person from every age, every tribe, every tongue, and there's still going to be plenty of room. Look at Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be throngs, the rich, the poor, the blind, the lame, those who have trusted Jesus, every soul that has died in faith, all of those people are going to be there. He's made room for you and for me, and heaven is for real. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Tell your neighbor there's even room for you. Hallelujah. But, you know, the thing is that when a Jewish family, when one of the sons was going to get married, when he got betrothed, or we call it engaged, but back then the engagement was an official marriage covenant. The only thing that hadn't happened was the ceremony and the consummation, but they were legally married in the engagement. And the minute that the son of the house announced that he was going to be engaged to be married, or betrothed to be married, they actually would begin to build a room for the new family. You follow what I'm saying? And so, and that's what happens with us. You see, after the wedding, the son would bring his bride into that newly constructed room. And so then would begin a new Jewish family. And then when that son, when they had children, and that son announced he was betrothed to be married, the father would immediately begin to construct a large room as an annex to the house, so that when his bride, are y'all following me on this? Because you know what? Jesus is, hallelujah, we're the bride of Christ, and the Heavenly Father has announced the engagement of Jesus Christ into His church, and I'm telling you, for 2,000 years, our Father has been building that room, and building that room, and praise God, one of these days, we're going to be brought in as the bride of Christ, because heaven is a prepared place for the bride of Christ. And what a plan that God has forever and forever. It's not going to be crowded. It's going to be with the Lord and with the saints. And He is building that room. My grandmother's going to be there. My daddy's going to be there. And the bride of Christ is going to be there. I'm looking forward to that plan that He has for me. Amen. I can know that heaven is real because Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I can know heaven is enough room. It's roomy, a room for everyone, every race, nobody left behind, nobody left out, all who call upon the name of the Lord. And then I can tell you finally, verse point three, heaven is rich. Heaven is rich. What do you mean by that? We live in poverty down here. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 3. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 3. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I want you to think about this. What did God do in 6 days of creation? When you read the book of Genesis, and please understand, the 6 days of the book of Genesis were 6 24-hour days. I know people say, well, the 6 days could have been 6,000 years, or, you know, God could have done it in a million years. No, it was 24 hours. How do you know that? Simply because in the book of Genesis, it says this after each day. It says the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. God did not spend 60,000 years to create the earth. He could have done it in 0.6 milliseconds, but he did do it in 6 24-hour days. And just think of all that he made in those 6 days. People talk about, well, the Grand Canyon is billions of years of age old. Well, you know, when God made Adam to be probably a 50-year-old man, you know, because he died at 800 years of age. But Adam wasn't a baby. He didn't grow up to be a 50-year-old man. And so when God made the Grand Canyon, he made it old when it was started. It seemed to be like it's been there for billions of years because of the layers and stuff. No, just God made it that way. Listen, God, don't come up and tell me that God didn't make it. He absolutely made it. You can't some blast out in the middle of nowhere, nothing times nothing equals everything. My God created this world, the Grand Canyons, the mountains, the rivers, the valley, and just think of animal creation. Think of all of the different animal creations. We had a very interesting conversation in the coffee shop this morning, right here at Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. And so Sister Kay was telling us, Sister Kay Rouse, one of our newest people, that raises chicken out there where she lives. And I overheard her telling somebody that the hawk came and swooped down and picked up the chicken and killed it. I said, what? I didn't know that. Are you kidding me? She said, I went out to the barn and raccoons were eating eggs and other things was going on. And I'm like, I was like, sister, you keep talking. I might not go visit you either. No, I'm just kidding. I definitely will not visit her because of that. But I was learning some stuff. I can't imagine that poor little chicken and a hawk up there. That just blows my mind. I know I've watched Star Wars, but I'm telling you, this just blows my mind that it happens in real life. Why would that hawk do that? I guess he's hungry. I don't know. I told Sister Kay, well, evidently that hawk likes fried chicken like I do. Amen. Think of the creation. Think of 6 days, the sun, the moon, the stars. Even scientists today are still discovering things that in the bottom of the ocean and different places, because we have an amazing and an awesome, infinite God. And the point I'm trying to make is this. I'm about to have church here. If he took 6 days and he made all of this wonderful world, what has he done in the last 2,000 years? I mean, he is working on that place called that room. He's working on those mansions. He's working. It's a rich place, glory to God. I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. It's never entered it. It is incomprehensible. And I want you to know that whatever cross you bear, whatever sin you resist, whatever unforgiveness that you release, it's not worth losing heaven over. It's not worth it. It's not worth the pleasure. It's not worth the unforgiveness. It's not worth. You want to stay home and watch movies and not serve God? You're missing out, because when you see heaven, brother, you talk about 4K, 8K. I'm telling you, it is glory and it is beyond comprehension. Paul said, I was not lawful to write down all of the glories why doesn't God tell us all about heaven? Because he wants us to look forward to something. And when we get there, he wants us to say, wow, it's even better than expected. I wish you'd give him a praise tonight. Heaven is rich. I want you to know that all he made in 6 days, and yet he's spending 2,000 years. And we're not talking about, listen, streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, the 12 foundations of that city, the New Jerusalem, heaven itself. There's so much the Bible says about heaven. I'm not going to put it all into this sermon tonight. But I'm just telling you, it is unimaginable, it is unbelievable, and it is completely worth every tear that you shed, and it is worth staying true to the end. It is worth you keeping yourself unspotted from the world. It is worth you pleasing your Heavenly Father, because in such grace and mercy, only a God of infinite love would prepare such a wonderful place. And I know at times we have to say goodbye to our loved ones. There's some of you that have had spouses to pass away at early ages. There's some of you that, God forbid, you've had to lay your children beneath the sod of this earth. There's some of you that have laid parents aside like I have, and how terrible it is. But the Christian hope is this. This is not the end. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You stay faithful to God. You stay holy. Be ye holy as he who has called you is holy. And you strive for the masteries. You aim to please him. You keep your heart full of joy. Don't let this world depress you and oppress you. Don't get stuck in a funk. Don't get backsliding. Don't get ill and angry, and don't get conceited and prideful. But with all of your might and with all of the right, you strive for that glorious place called heaven, because brother and sister, it is going to be worth it. No more death, no more pain, no more crying. And here's a thought. Let's gather some people to go with us. Amen. You know what soul winning is? It's you getting on fire for God, saying, I'm going to this place called heaven, and I want you to go with me. Heaven is rich. Unimaginable riches. Now, you know, people have money down here on earth, and they think, whoo, I've got $40 million, or I'm a football player, and I've won that lottery. I was in the store the other day, it was a customer that came by, and he said, you know, I'm looking tonight on TV to see if we get that $10 million Powerball. I said, boy, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But let me tell you, in June of 2003, a man by the name of Jody Lee Taylor was arrested in Collinsville, Virginia, for attempting to run over a sheriff's deputy. On the night of his arrest, Taylor was driving naked down the wrong side of Route 58, just over the state line, with his headlights off. You see, Jody Lee Taylor had won the lottery and was a multimillionaire. Friend, winning the lottery does not make you fulfilled and does not save your soul. If it would, this man wouldn't be naked on Highway 58, running the wrong way and assaulting a sheriff. Jack Whitaker passes out in a West Virginia strip bar. A burglar steals his briefcase. In his briefcase, he had $545,000 in bonds. The money was located in a trash dumpster the next morning. Jack Whitaker had won the lottery, a multimillionaire. And I believe this is the man, was a faithful member of the local Church of God. And when he won the lottery, he was bragging about, or really, I don't think he was bragging. He said, oh, I can't wait to give 10% to my church. Well, then, sometime later, we find him outside a strip club with $550,000 in his briefcase. Friend, money and riches last but for a moment. And what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus was telling you right then, the riches and the glories of heaven, it would be better for you to sell everything you have on nothing in this world. It would be better for you, in a figurative sense, not a literal sense, to cut your arm off, or to pluck your eye out, or to go lonely, or to suffer in this world, because what is coming in the next world for the ever, and think of forever. You know how fleeting time is. Look, I turned around and I'm 48 years of age. It's like, when did that happen? I still feel like, act like, I hope I don't act like it, but I still feel like I'm 20. 28. I'm like, my goodness, I'm 48 years old. I was playing the piano tonight, and there was a pain in my hand right there, and I said, oh my goodness, what in the world could that be? And I rolled down the window of my car, and it's like this pain in my hand, and you know, it's like, arthritis, that's what your daddy had. And I'm like, you lying devil, you. But I'm 48. Time is fleeting. Before you turn around, 25 years of marriage, before you turn around, the hand of time has brought you so swiftly to the gates of eternity. But friend, think about heaven. The minute we get there, time is no more. We will forever enjoy the presence of God. We'll forever enjoy the presence of our brothers and sisters before God. We will forever enjoy what He has planned for us. People say, what are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to play golf? Are we going to do this and that? Let me tell you something. I don't know what we're going to do in heaven. I just know this. It's going to be wonderful. And most importantly, what really makes heaven rich really isn't the gold. It really isn't the pearls. Really what makes heaven rich to me is the fact that Jesus will be there. He is my Savior. And He and I have talked a lot lately. And I'm so looking forward, Brother Ray, to that day when I can sit down with Him face to face and say, tell me how you got me over, Lord. Tell me how you died on that cross. Tell me in the sweet by and by. Somebody say heaven is for real. Brother Clark, would you come tonight? Heaven is real. Heaven is roomy, and heaven is rich. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 through 4, and just I'll let you know when to start playing. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself will be their God. Next scripture, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And Brother Mike, that beautiful granddaughter of yours. Oh, you've got all eternity. Oh, Brother Ray, there's coming a day. Brother Ray Meeks, there's coming a day when you and Sister Judy will talk in sweet fellowship. And that faithfulness you're giving to your wife will be rewarded. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, it says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven is for real. I want to tell you in closing about a little girl who was blind and had never seen. This is a true story. It's not part of the Heaven is for Real book, but I thought I would close with this tonight. A surgeon believed that he could restore sight or give sight to that child. And the parents were willing to do a tricky surgery to see if it could happen. So they did the surgery, and the eyes were bandaged. And there came that time when the bandage was to be removed. Would she be able to see? They unwrapped the gauze, took the pads from those precious little girl's eyes, and the doctor said, sweetheart, open your eyes. And this little girl opened her eyes she had never seen, and she blinked. The first thing she saw was the face of her doctor, then the face of the nurse, and then the face of her mother. She saw a tear for the first time in her mother's eye. She said, I can see. And she looked around at the things in the room that you and I, we take for granted. And she went to the window and she looked outside. She didn't see the grass. She saw the green grass. She didn't see the sky. She saw the bright blue sky. She didn't see the flowers. She saw the multicolored flowers. She ran back to her mother, squeezed her mother, and said, Mother, Mama, it's so beautiful. Mama, it's so beautiful. Mama, why didn't you tell me how beautiful all of this would be? And that mother, through tears of joy, said, sweetheart, I tried to tell you, but you had to see it for yourself. When I think about when we get to heaven, We're going to say something to our Heavenly Father. Father, why didn't you tell us heavens was so wonderful? And he'll say, well, I tried to tell you, but now you can see it for yourself. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. I said, God's got an awesome, amazing plan for your life. Why throw it away? Why crumple it up and put it in a trash can? Your life and your soul. And you say, well, preacher, I'm 75 years of age. Let me tell you something. And you better get ready to play, because I'm going to preach a long time tonight if you don't play. I'm going to tell you something. You might be 75 years of age. You might have messed up. You might have done bad things. Do you realize when you step into eternity, you'll live a million years and you won't even be a baby in eternity? You might think you're 75 and you're old and there's no hope. I'm telling you, for whatever age you are, if you're 98 years of age, if you're 28 years of age, oh glory, if you're 48 years of age, God's got a plan for you. Believe it, embrace it, shout about it, declare it, tell others about it, and he's up to something. Would you stand with me tonight and lift your hands to the Lord and say, God, I embrace that eternal plan for my life. Oh, we may have trials. We may have tests. We may have sickness. We may have sorrow. But oh, God, heaven is for real. And God, it's rich and it's roomy and it's real. And we're going to see you face to face. And we give you the praise for it tonight.
Trees that are pure as gold.
Oh, sing it tonight. I've got a mansion.
I've got a mansion.
Yes, I do.
Just over the hilltop in that dry land where we'll never grow.
Someday yonder.
And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. I've got a mansion.
I wish you would give him worship.
Just over the hill.
We're anticipating that plan.
In that bright land where we'll never move. And someday yonder.
What a plan. What a plan
we'll
for our life.
Never move.
It's not over. It's just beginning.
But walk on streets that are pure as gold.
Sing it again.
I've got a mansion.
Yes, I do, Lord.
Just over the hilltop.
Amen.
In that bright land where
we'll never grow.
And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold.